They were doing it in families. So next time when Aaliyah's here, we're going to let her quote the whole Old Testament. Wouldn't that be terrible? I was reading a story. You probably saw this in the news, probably. You maybe don't know who it is, but a comedian named Tracy Morgan was at one of his concerts. I think it was Friday night. And he was tweeting from the actual concert so that everyone could see the audience. And they were all excited about, you know, what he was doing and the people that were there. And he was saying, isn't this wonderful? When we leave here, we're going to go in a limousine and we're going to just have a rockin' time. Well, the problem was the rockin' time turned tragic because there was a semi that came undone and went right into the semi, right into the limousine. Tracy Morgan is in ICU, last I heard. One of his friends back with him is dead. He was a comedian that I never heard of, so he couldn't be too funny. But anyway, he's gone. Probably some others terribly, terribly hurt. What happens when things break off? What happens when they don't stay to the structure? People die. What happens in a society when we remove the Ten Commandments or consider it has no effect? The chassis is coming undone. The driver is gone. And it's going to go headlong into people. It's already crashing into schools. It's crashing into the secular world. And by the way, it's crashing into churches. Because a lot of churches are more interested in getting what people think instead of what God says. I'm all for hearing what you think and what God says to you, but this is the authority here. This is it. We don't adjust it. We don't amend it. We don't have meetings to do so. We trust what's in it because it has survived, and it is all about God himself. And so I've asked Scott to come up and to read the scripture for the Ten Commandments. Please stand to honor the word of God.
I've elected the New King James today. I heard NIV over here. I'm going to go with the New King James. Now, it's Exodus 19, 18 through 20. Now, Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice. Then the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. Now we're going to go to Exodus 21 through 17. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and mother, that is your days, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's.
You may be seated. Now, I preached this the beginning of April, and because that particular service went very long, and I know our attention span in life, particularly in America, is probably somewhat adjusted through the years, we kind of seem to be set for 10 minutes, then a commercial, then another 10 minutes and a commercial. We don't have any commercials here. The only commercial is Jesus Christ. He's the only one. If you want to go to the refrigerator, you know, go thinking about Jesus. But I preached it, I shared it, doing it again today. I've never done this before. I've never had a service or a message that I've redone. Never. But this one is so important. I want to make sure we all understand the theophany on Mount Sinai. The theophany, you know what that means? If you've been here, you know it. It means God appearing. It means in flesh. God appeared in the Old Testament. And we can't see God the Father. We can't see God the Spirit. It is God the second person, God the Son. That is who is going to be revealed on the mountain here. And so it made sense to me to reshare it. Now, the scene unfolds on this great mountain. After the Exodus and the deliverance from Egypt, Moses is reunited with his family. Now, I want you to catch this because this is very important. The Exodus is the typology of our salvation, our deliverance from death. Remember, the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. That is salvation. That is your new life in Jesus Christ. The Ten Commandments were given after. They were given to keep them safe on their journey. They were not meant to save you. They cannot save you because none of us can keep them. The Bible calls them a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Okay? So God set in order a set of holy rules to protect people on the journey forward. That's the one thing he did. The second thing he was doing was revealing Jesus Christ as a theophany, as God in the flesh, to say, I'm the completion of the Ten Commandments. I'm going to fulfill this right in front of you. You want to look toward the structure of society and to your future, you look to Jesus. Because without Jesus, you don't have a future. That's really the truth in the scripture. So, very often, like Abram, when he was interceding for his nephew Lot, remember, in the theophany, God came down and met with them. And how many remember Jacob, who was fleeing from his family, and God said, okay, you're going to go meet him again. You're going to go meet your twin that you've done wrong to. I'm glad I've never done wrong to my twin. Gee, that worked out swell. I just only hope she has a bad memory. Ha! But anyway, it's amazing to me in the scripture how many situations where God shows up, it comes out of a family dispute. You know why? Because those disputes and those situations lead us to needing Christ, don't they? And the fact that God cares about families. So God instructs Moses to have the people come around the mountain, but with boundaries, so they could hear what he was going to say to Moses. They were to be sanctified. That's a big word in the Wesleyan Church. Sanctified, which means to be set apart for God's use. That's what it means. It is the same root as the word sanctuary, sacred, any of that. Now, it's talking about the scripture in here. They were to be sanctified, and spouses couldn't even have sexual relations for 3 days prior to this event. That's how holy it is. So keep that in mind. And then on the third day, God would speak. Why on the third day? Resurrection. Keep your metaphors through the scripture. That's what it's going to be. The third day is always the resurrection. God is going to show up in a mighty way. So glad he always honors his promises. They could not touch the mountain or they would die. There was no appeal process. To touch God's holiness without an invitation or a relationship to him is certain death. Certain death. Jacob, remember, he touched him. He had a fight with him. He had a wrestling match. That's how we know it was Jesus, because he couldn't have seen the Father. But he had a wrestling match with a theophany. Can you imagine? 2 out of 3 falls. Who's going to win that one, folks? Yeah. Mount Sinai is covered with smoke because Yahweh has descended. That's one of the keys in the scripture of a theophany. When God comes down, it means he comes from up, by the way, but he's descending into physical space. That's what it's talking about here. So he comes in person. Now, the first word up here, descended, the Hebrew word yarad, it means to come or go down and descend. Remember he came down at Babel? When they were trying to find their way to heaven without him? Can't find your way to heaven without God, I can guarantee you that. He came down for Sodom. He came down at strategic points to show up where his holy name is being defamed, and when those particular appearances are mile markers to show people what's coming in the future. Okay? I want to highlight something I didn't highlight the last time, but I like it. In the 19th verse, it said, let me find it here, and the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder before Moses speaks. The trumpet got louder and louder. Bible says the trumpet's going to sound and the dead in Christ are going to rise. The trumpet's going to get louder and louder. Who's listening to it? Who hears it? We got so much noise in this world, we're not hearing the trumpet of God alerting us to the state of this world. God wants us to hear. The trumpet got louder and louder, and then he spoke. Now, smoke is the Hebrew word ashan, and it means to be smoking and to be angry. There's no smoking section here, folks. God's coming in fire. And that's a cleanser. The Bible says the smoke, and it all comes up before God. Again, this gets a little confusing for some folks, where it's talking about the different divine names of God. This is the divine name Ha Elohim, which means the creator and the Trinity. But with the Ha before it, what it means is the Elohim, the creator, the Trinity. There, any religion out there and any belief system will have their own Trinity. Did you know that? They have their own flood. They have their own Trinity. They have their own way of salvation. They all steal it from the Bible. The only problem is they're a very bad counterfeit. Take the genuine. You know, I know a lot of people like knockoffs in stores because they're cheaper. Hey, how much cheaper is free? For the genuine, true, powerful word of God. Don't take something cheaper, it's going to kill you. Because it's not God's word. So, God speaks from the top of the mountain. The word voice here means to speak. It means the sound of his voice. And I like this, on the top of the mountain is the word Rosh. And it's like Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year. It means God is the head and we are the body. And we need to listen to him and hear what he has to say. And so Jesus is going to speak on the mountain here, and he's going to point out 10 thoughts, not 10 suggestions, not 10 greater ideas, let's vote on them later, 10 commandments. They are commands from God. And he starts off, I am Yahweh. In the Hebrew, Yer Eloheka, which means I am Yahweh, I am your personal covenant God. This is Jesus talking. Who is the other one that said I am in the New Testament? Jesus. Remember we did that a couple months ago? How many I ams in the New Testament? I am the door, I am the good shepherd, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Notice it all the way through Scripture. The Lord is showing himself way, way, way back at Sinai. Way before Bethlehem. Way before Bethlehem. I is the Hebrew word Enochi, and it means a singular personal pronoun of himself. Even though this is the Trinity, because you know they work together, the speaker here, the person here, is identifying himself, I am. That means it is Jesus. It is the most sacred name in the Old Testament. Wonderful name. And he says, have no other Elohims before me. None, not one. Did you know if you have another God before him, you don't have him? Because he won't take number two. God's not number two. He'll step right out if you choose anything above and beyond him. Because we can make anything our sovereign. How are you going to know if you've got a God in your life? This way. You yield to it, you look to it to give your life purpose or pleasure, and you worship it. And by worshiping, it means I give myself wholly to it. People in addictions are worshiping that addiction, which, by the way, is going to kill them. People worshiping their position in life. They'll do anything to keep that position. They're worshiping it. It's an idol. People worshiping their bodies. It's an idol. We're supposed to take care of it. We're not supposed to worship it. There's a difference. God takes it seriously. Do not make unto yourself any graven image or likeness. Temunah is the Hebrew word for likeness, form, and representation. And I want you to notice in the word, in any graven image, is the word grave. If you make another image unto God, whatever it is, it's headed for the grave. There's no life in it. It displeases God. We're made in the image of Elohim, Trinity, three parts, spirit, soul, and body. It's all holy. God wants us all to have them unified as we serve him all together. Okay, we're not to bow down to them. That Hebrew word means to worship it. Nor are we to serve them, which is the Hebrew word abad, which means to work, serve, and labor. I can guarantee you, you will work hard for your sin. How many know that? You don't get a day off. There's no good benefits. Are there? One of the old preachers, Billy Sunday, said, I said this before, I love this line, hell is the highest reward the devil can offer you for being a servant of his. It's all he has to offer. You know why he's offering it to you? Because he's going there. Hell was created for him and his angels. God didn't want people there. That's not the address he wants for our future. That's why Jesus did all this. And why does he explain this? I just love the Lord because he explains why he's so strict on this. The Bible says he's a jealous God. The Hebrew word gana means jealous, but it's from another word gina, meaning ardor and zeal. It's identified as a color produced in the face by deep emotion. God is not green with envy, okay? He doesn't envy us. In other words, he doesn't want our stuff. He's not coveting our stuff. He's got everything. What does he need anything from us for? He wants our devotion. No, he's not green with envy. He's reddened by the passion and love that took him to the cross. He has the only right to be jealous because he owns us. He created us and then he redeemed us. He bought us back. He's the only one that can be jealous. This is why, by the way, you can't be jealous in a marital, any kind of relationship because you don't own the other person. They're a gift. So if you have a jealousy issue, take it before the presence of God, because he's the only one that can be jealous. Nobody else has any claim. Now, the divine name for God here is El, and this is the name, the God of the nations, the mighty, powerful one. It's important because the result of disobedience, and how many affected generations occur when people disobey God? Just all the way down. It's a big, big difference. And it says, of those who hate me, hate, the Hebrew word sane means hate or be a foe. The Bible says friendship of the world is an enemy of God. If you hate him, now I want you to look at that name, sane, it's spelt like the word sane. But I can guarantee you, if you have anything in your life where it ends up hating God because we've not given it over to him, it can affect your mental health. Called insane, where your mind just can't deal with it. It can't deal with the guilt. It can't deal with the shame, and it turns everything around, and your mind can't think straight. This is why God wants to heal our minds. This is why God wants to touch us. To make an idol of any sort is the same as being an enemy of God. It's exactly what it is. Then we are not to take the name of Yahweh, your God, in vain. The Hebrew word shav means emptiness and vanity, to no good purpose and nothingness. If you misuse his personal name, God will not hold you guiltless. I can guarantee you there's a lot of people in churches that take his name in vain. There's a lot of preachers out there that are taking it in vain because they want money. They're giving the name out so they get something in return. Hey, free to me, free to give. I ain't taking anything for it. I'm grateful I got saved. That's the great gift. The word guiltless, by the way, the Hebrew word naga, means empty or clean or unpunished. You will not be unpunished. You will not be clean if you take his name in any disrespect. God took the chaos of the formless void in Genesis, and he brought order and life. So he does not let it slip by when his name is maligned in any way, whether in profanity, selfish purpose, or whatever. We can come boldly to the throne of God, thank God, but let's never be cavalier about his name or representation of the name. Remember the Sabbath day. People remember what's important to them. Remember the Sabbath day. Now, the Sabbath is Saturday, okay? Jesus didn't change it to Sunday when he died and resurrected. It's still Saturday. But the book of Romans, the 14th chapter, says one chooses one day, another chooses a different day. Let everyone be fully persuaded in his own mind. What it means is take one of the days. We worship on Sunday because Jesus rose from the dead on Sunday. And in my opinion, because the day one of creation is the day of the perpetual light, it's not the sun, it's not the moon, it's not the lower lights, it is God himself showing up in his own creation, and day one is the day of resurrection. That's the day we celebrate, in my belief. But if others have a different opinion, that's fine. Jesus is the Savior, it's not the day you worship, okay? There are people that believe if you don't worship a certain day, you're not going to be saved. That's not true. That takes away from the cross. It's not scripture. Now, Sabbath day was important to God because he created it to do what? To enjoy his creation. That's why he created it. He gave himself a rest day. He looked out all over the stuff he had created and he thought, you know, I did a good job. I even like man and woman, even though I know they're going to cause me trouble. I really like them. I'm grateful. Next, to honor our parents, no matter what they've done or not done. It doesn't give an exception here. Honor them only if they're good. That's not in here. It's our attitude that's important. The word honor is the Hebrew word kabod, which means honorable, but it also comes from a word that means heavy and burdensome and weighty. Sometimes it's hard to honor parents. Okay? And sometimes it's hard for parents to honor the children, for that matter. This is obedience, folks. Doesn't matter what they do. Doesn't matter if you agree with them. Doesn't matter if you even like them. You honor them. This society has no honor for parents, for any kind of authority, because we believe the lie of the 60s that they didn't know anything. Yeah, well, they didn't know everything, but they knew a few things. Hopefully they learned from what they did wrong. Honor your parents. It's difficult sometimes, but this is the commandment with promise. This is the one that has a promise in it. Our unforgiveness, bitterness, or anger can shorten our life and affect our effectiveness. Let's live in the promise of God. If you have parents, whether they're living or not, and you have a bitterness in your heart, go to the Lord and have it freed from you. Because this is one of the stellar words in the Word of God. It will not help you, and it will only hurt you. Next, don't murder. The Hebrew word ratzach means to slay with premeditation. It means you purpose to do it. We're not talking about war. We're not talking about accident or self-defense. We're talking here about purposeful. When somebody brings a knife, they're probably not coming to cut their bread. They're coming to do harm. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery, which some people think do not admit it. Do not commit it. Okay? Did you know that there's a real band of people that are trying to get into society? They can have an adult can have a relationship with an underage person sexually, and it's okay because we all love each other. I got news for you. That young life doesn't have the emotional, physical, spiritual capability for that. They are stealing them, they are killing them. And they're trying to bring it into our society. God is not pleased. Do not steal. The Hebrew word ganab means to steal, but in the Arabic it means to hurt the side. Do you know that when you steal, you actually hurt yourself? You do, because you're hurting your own life. You're taking something that doesn't belong to you. So what you have in front of you in your home, if you slip something in or whatever it is, you've got somebody else's stuff in your house and in your life. That hurts you spiritually. That's a noose around your neck. When I got saved, that was the first thing, stealing. We used to go help ourselves. And we became pretty proficient at it, unfortunately. But God forgave, and we made restitution where we could, the scripture says. Do not bear false witness against your neighbor. The Hebrew ana means to testify against. It's like being in the courtroom of Almighty God, and you're just spewing out words against other people, against the lies of all sizes, when you bear false witness against somebody. And you know the word neighbor doesn't just mean the person you live next door. Okay? It's the word friend, companion, and fellow. Anybody is your neighbor. Don't lie about them. Don't lie to them. It's not a good choice. Do not covet. The Hebrew word chamad means to desire and take pleasure in. In this case, it's talking about in a negative sense. And it means inordinate, ungoverned, selfish desire for people and goods. I want it so bad, I'm going to go steal it. I want that person so much, I'm going to go take them away from their spouse. I want that position so bad, I'm going to do it on Sunday, or whatever the case might be. And it ends up you actually having more than one commandment broken. How many know they travel in pairs? Yeah. Now, there's a reason the commandments are listed as do not. When we go beyond the protection of God, we have a big knot in our stomach and in our spirit. And you end up hanging by it. So, God came down physically within the flame. Remember in the burning bush? He wasn't in the bush, he was in the flame. He's in the fire. He's in the fire. And this is, by the way, the reason you don't want to be in the lake of fire at the end, because God will be out of it then. And you'll only have fire without any resource. You won't have any help. So God set boundaries to protect the seekers, and Jesus is the only one we can receive without death. He's also the only person to truly fulfill the Ten Commandments. When Satan tested him in the wilderness, he tried to get Jesus to worship him. Remember that? And he said, "Thou shalt have no other gods. I will not bow down." When Jesus was 12 and he came into the temple to do his Father's will, he was obedient to his earthly parents and he went back with them, wasn't he? He treated them with great respect. Jesus honored the Sabbath and he showed himself Lord of the Sabbath day. But he knew the laws that were enacted at that time were done to try to trip him up and not use the Sabbath day as a blessing, but to use it as a way for man to do what they wanted to do. He is the only physical presence from heaven who could have written the Ten Commandments himself and then wrote in the sand in the New Testament. And everyone walked away one by one. Why? He probably wrote the Ten Commandments in the sand. And their conscience spoke back to them. What else did he do in the New Testament? Jesus went farther and more interior in the commandments. And he said in Matthew, "To lust is the same as committing adultery. To hate is the same as murder." So if you think you're on your high horse someday, "Oh, I didn't murder anybody," if you hated them, it's the same thing. Because it came out of your heart. There's no behavior that doesn't come out of the heart first. That's why God tells us to take care of our heart. In Matthew 22, Jesus responds to a lawyer who's trying to get him to name the most important commandment. You know, they're always trying to trip up Jesus and put him in his place. So he responds in summary point, and he says they all hang on to. First one sums up the first couple. Honor God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. It connects to the first couple. The rest of them are all for people. And love your neighbor as yourself. It didn't say love yourself as you love your neighbor, because then we'd all be sunk. It says love your neighbor as you love yourself. Why? Because primarily we love ourselves, don't we? We live for ourselves. We need to live for God. We need the Ten Commandments for a moral society, a protected society, and a holy society. And only in theophany can that ever happen. Only through Jesus Christ. They are a schoolmaster, Galatians tells us. They remind us we need a Savior, but they alone cannot save us. When the flame lit and descended on that mountain, and it was better than any Olympic cauldron, second person of the Godhead came and said, "I'm the head. Let's live through me." I keep thinking about these Bosnian flooding issues and how those mines are shifting down the slopes. And how people are not going to know where the mines are that were placed there during the war. And they're going to step on them, and what should not have been a tragedy is going to be a major tragedy because they're going to step on mines. Have you ever met anybody that stepped on a mine? I have. Whole face is disfigured. Great spirit he had, but his whole face was disfigured. You take the Ten Commandments. You take the ordinance of God, you adjust it to your opinion, to your thought, to your way, or to this society's culture. It is landmines all over the place. It's going to be slipping. It's going to be sliding. We can't depend on this. The children in school, I feel bad for them. They have nothing. They don't know what they're supposed to do anymore. Am I supposed to live for culture or live for Christ? That's why we need to keep praying for children, and Darlene brought that up, which I mentioned at the business meeting, to have once a month prayer fast day for the children, from the youngest to the eldest, which we are going to initiate and do. It's important. So I'd like you to bow your heads for a moment. If you're here today, first of all, the most important thing, we cannot come to the mountain of God without an invitation. and without a personal relationship to Jesus Christ. Because he's the only one that fulfilled the commands. He's the only one that invited us. He's the only one that paid the price for us. He took upon himself all of our sin, all of our excrement, all of our evil of thought, word, or deed. And you'd say today, you know, it is a slippery world, and I don't want to step on those mines. I want to live for Jesus, because he's the one who has defeated death. He's the one who's fulfilled the Ten Commandments. He's the one in whose name I could live his life with the power of the Holy Spirit. I can't do it on my own. And you'd say today, I'm here today, and I have never really surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you, if you're here, just to slip your hand up so I can see you. No one else is looking. I just want to make sure if you're here, or you've made a commitment years ago, but it's not current, you're not living for Christ. You know it. God knows it. God wants to spare you. He doesn't want you to go down that slippery slope. I can assure you of that. And if you're here, let me see if your hand is raised. I don't want to miss anybody. Okay. See those hands. Secondly, this is what's been on my mind today. Unforgiveness for parents. This is a death watch. Because you're holding inside of you anger and bitterness and things that only hurt you. They don't hurt the others. They probably don't know. God wants you to be free. Hold nothing against them. Leave it at the cross. No matter what's been done, forgive, which means let it go. Give it up. Don't hold on to it. It'll only burden you down. And if you're here today and you'd say, that sounds like me, I want to be released from that aspect. And you raise your hand so I can pray for you, for family, for parents. It's very important. Very important, folks. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, for every hand raised, for those, Lord, that raise their hand, Lord, for profession of faith to say, Jesus, I want to follow you. I pray that you would make it very real to them today. They cannot be saved by their own works, nor by the keeping of the commandments, because we've already failed. We were born a sinner. We're already behind. But you came so that we could be born again. Lord, as we accept your sacrifice and acknowledge our sin and repent of it and turn away for the glorious new life in Jesus Christ, make that real, I pray today. And for those, Lord, with their parents, I pray that you would just bring healing, Lord. And even after the service is over, there may be those, Lord, that think, I've forgiven them. But, Lord, there can be knots. There can be jabs that can be in their deep, deep recess. I pray that you would show it to them, to all of us, if it be there, that we can surrender it to you and get the promise of God for a long, healthy life. Father God, for there are many things, medically and otherwise, that can be because of bitterness and anger. Father, heal and restore, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this time to be together. Lord, bless, Father, as we continue with our last song and then with fellowship. May you be exalted. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing the last song, great song, at Calvary, if you, for whatever reason, want to come to the altar, altar is always open. You do so, but please stand. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. At Calvary. Is Jamie still back there? I understand today is her birthday. She snuck in. So we're going to sing. Happy birthday. This is Scott's daughter, Jamie. Feel free to come and eat. If you have a walker or wheelchair, please go first. And I'm going to retrieve your flags, okay? So don't feel bad. Have a great lunch.